Do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just before Robin comes, just want to mention Richard Harder. Funeral will be held on March the 10th over at the Mustard Seed, and it'll start at 1 o'clock. Okay? So that's for Richard Harder. That's Jason and Jason's brother. Amen? So at this time, I'm going to ask our sister Robin to come forward.
So as all of you know, we are working on setting up Renew, and it is going splendidly well. We do need a couple of things, though. We would love to have two or three volunteers every day just to come and join us and help us move forward. There's lots of cleaning, dusting, as these guys are still working in the back. Dust is constantly coming out. We have lots of hangers that need to be cleaned. It's not glorious work on earth, but it builds you kingdom points in heaven, because this is something that benefits each and every one of us in so many ways that we can't even fathom yet. So I encourage you, please, if you have a few hours to spare every week, just to come on down between 9 and 5 and help us out. There will be a list. If I'm not there, there will be a list taped to the counter. You can just go through, see what you're capable of, and just kind of put your name beside it or check it or something so that we know that it's been done. And then also, we are taking donations now. So please, if you have donations, bring them to the back door. There's loading dock doors. They're two great big doors. You can't miss them when you go to the back. And we will all help you load them in and get them ready to be sorted.
And she's doing a marvelous job, in case you didn't know it. We also have posters. And if you, everybody has their own little sphere of influence. So if you have a bulletin board anywhere in your neighborhood or anywhere where you go during the week, please take one of these and put them up. So it tells you that we're accepting donations and also that you can apply for volunteer positions. And we're still waiting for more applications. We sure don't have enough volunteers yet. So we're looking for volunteer applications to be filled out, please. They should be out there, I hope. Oh, yeah, and you can also do it online. And we have a website, and that's all on here.
Amen. So before Calvin comes up, come on up, Calvin, maybe on your way here. Just want to ask everybody, are we ready to meet Jesus Christ? Amen. Are we ready? Woo! Amen. Do you know that it's possible to meet him and to know him here and to be ready? Like some people think, well, if I do enough brownie points, I'll get to heaven. It's not about good works, my friend. It's not about good works. It's about Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. And when you accept him into your life, he gives you the assurance of going to heaven. Amen? So if you don't have that assurance here today, you can have it after the service, through the service, or whatever. But just call upon the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and he will save you. Amen? So this is our brother Calvin. We've been trying to get this guy to testify for the last 10 years, but he hasn't. But anyway, I'm just joking about that. So, but he's going to give us a testimony. He's part of the Lazarus House Ministry. He's been in there, so he'll let you know everything.
Okay, just before I start talking, I just want to read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from me, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And then I want to skip down to 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I came to Lazarus' house about a little over a year ago. And during that time, I've had lots and lots of struggles. The main thing that I want to say is in this is that God has been with me my whole life. I came to realize it through Lazarus' house. When I first got there, I was working down at the kitchen, and Mary gave me a phone number to check out. I didn't want to stay at people's place if there was any way to avoid it. So she gave me a number, and I called, and it ended up being Lazarus' house, what used to be Lazarus' house too. And they told me it was a discipleship training program. I had been through a lot of turmoil in my life at that point, kind of a thing, and my belief was I was the last person that they wanted in Lazarus' house. I was not disciple material. Anyway, then the next day, somebody must have got a hold of Alvin, I guess, because he cornered me at the kitchen. So we went in the back room and talked, and one of the things that he said to me was, excuse me, don't you want what's left of your life to count for something more than what's already passed? Now, that really struck me. I was kind of dumbfounded at the time and couldn't answer him, but he didn't give up, and so he talked to me again, and then I decided that, yeah, I did want something more. It took about a week because I didn't want to come out of people's place and give up my bed. It took about a week and a half, something like that, to convince me that I could survive if I moved to Lazarus' house. So I came in there, and it's been so good, and I don't even know. Like I say, God has been with me through the whole thing. Even the times when I was yelling and screaming at him because finances were a problem for a while, and there was a lot of things I wasn't really ready to just give up. We had to go through a battle to to get there. But I finally got there. And over the last few months, it's been just great. Like, I've been volunteering. Well, I'm not a volunteer per se anymore, but down at the kitchen. And in the last little while, I've been kind of training to do the cooking and stuff like that. And I'm kind of getting nervous here now, but it's... But the Lord is just like he's been raising me up for what sometimes I'm still not totally clear on, but he's been raising me up, and he's been I don't know how else to say it, just a tremendous part of my life. And just, I don't know how to, just holding me in his hand to such a place that I've been able to just keep moving. Just, you know, like sometimes it's been literally, you know, just putting one foot in front of the other kind of a thing. There have been mountaintop experiences, but mostly he's just been teaching me how to walk through the valleys. And so, like, I guess mostly I just want to encourage everybody to know that God walks with you every step of the way. I guess one time, like, I saw a vision of footsteps. And I'd read the poem many, many times before, kind of thing. But one day the Lord gave me a vision of my own life and all the ways that he's been there for me. I don't want to get into a lot of it, but, you know, there's been suicide attempts, all kinds of stuff, and the Lord just showed me how he's, you know, those single steps when there was only one set of footprints, he carried me. He carried me so many times, and I just want to thank him for that carrying. So I guess that's...
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're I'm so privileged. I'm a privileged man. I get paid for what God has put on my heart to minister. And I just count it a great privilege to be a part of the Lazarus House, be a part of the Potter Sands Ministry. Great privilege. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank him. Man alive. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, some of these guys, I tell you, you know, it's, I told them it's like a rock tumbler. Being in a Lazarus House is like being in a rock tumbler. I don't know, a lot of you guys know what a rock tumbler is? You get it in there and you can plug it in and turn it on for a couple of weeks. You can turn it on for a month and just allow those rocks just to tumble. And this is what Lazarus House is all about. It's getting in there and rubbing shoulders with each other. And boy, I tell you, you know, if I'd live in there, I'm guaranteed there's things still in my heart that I don't know about. There's things in your heart that you don't know about. But when you get in closeness with other brothers and sisters, they're going to, man alive, what's up with you? You know, what's going on here? You know, and why do you think that way? And so this is what the Lazarus House is all about. It shines them up, you know, all of us, you know, myself included, doing the studies and stuff. And we've had up to 14 guys doing Bible study in the mornings there at the kitchen. 14 people coming there. And boy, I tell you, praise the living God, you know. Thank you, Jesus, you know. Hallelujah. Man, this God I serve, he's an awesome God. And so I just count it a great privilege to be a part of Calvin's life, you know, Ray and the other guys, and a part of Potter's. Amen. So, hallelujah. Give praise and glory to Jesus. So I'm just going to ask Pastor Stan to come on up and give his testimony here. No. Just kidding.
I was born at a very young age. Yeah. You know, it speaks well of you, Alvin, Pastor Alvin and Calvin and Ray. You know, we give God the glory today, but we also recognize what he's doing in you and in the ministry and to hear these lives that are changed, and we thank God for that. That's awesome. Calvin, you did a great job, and God speaks through you. Amen. So good. So good. If you notice, I don't know if it was intentional or not, knowing Kirsten, it probably was, but the theme today as we were singing was about the name of Jesus. All about the name of Jesus, all about the power of the name of Jesus, all about the authority of the name of Jesus. And, you know, we're going to, in a few minutes, Pauline's going to bring the word of God. But I just want to remind you of that truth today, that there is power in the name of Jesus. More power than you know, more power than we often exercise. There's power in the name of Jesus to destroy the demons that are attacking our lives. And that can be sickness, it can be disease, it can be poverty, it can be depression, whatever hard things are. I believe we need to learn better how to proclaim the name of Jesus, how to understand that just that name itself, you know, the enemy does not like the name of Jesus because he knows that it's Jesus' name that gives us the power and the authority that we need. And it is at the name of Jesus that every knee should bow. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the enemy has lost. The enemy has been defeated. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he lives. Amen? He lives. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. And so you can have hope today, and maybe you don't know what's going on here, or you're here for the first time, or you haven't been here very many times. We're about hope. And it's not we're not about hope just because we're trying to conjure that up or we're trying to make something out of nothing. We're about hope because there is real hope in Christ. There isn't much hope out in the world, but there is hope in Christ, and there is hope in the power that we have in the name of Jesus. And so we need to learn to exercise that name, and I just encourage you to do that. Whatever your battle is today, whatever your struggle is, maybe you need comfort today. There's some of you who are mourning. Maybe you're struggling in a relationship. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's pornography. Whatever that is, you know, you just got to stand against it. And we need to do it every day. And not just once, but sometimes you got to do it over and over and over again. In Jesus' name, I speak against this. In Jesus' name, I do not allow the enemy to have this leverage in my life anymore. No more. No more. In the name of Jesus, because the Bible says that we can put the enemy under our feet, and that's a really good place for him to be, right under my feet, amen? So, you know, take that for truth. I was going to say take that for what it's worth. No, that's sort of undermining it. Take it for truth. This is truth. Speak that truth in your life. You speak the name of Jesus over whatever it is you're fighting against, and let's be honest. Every single one of us is fighting with something. We all are. And your problems, your temptations, your weakness, that might be different than mine, but we all have something. And we just got to go, squish. There's a squishing noise when you do that. Right? Thank you, Lord. I would be amiss if I didn't ask Anita. You could just come up here. I know you're not used to this, but hallelujah. We talk about a God of miracles. We talk about how he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. And I know you didn't know I was going to ask you to come forward. That way you didn't need to worry about it all night long. But just speak.
Thanks. Yeah, you bet. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. I'm so overwhelmed by his goodness and his grace. You know, if the one thing I could say about all of this is that he's taught me so much. But the one thing that really sticks out today is often we go through a storm and we cry, Lord, take this from me, take this from me. Sometimes he doesn't want to take it. Sometimes he wants us to walk through it and teach us how to walk through it with him. And he's certainly been teaching me that in the last little while here. And I just give him all the praise and all the credit and all the glory.
Okay. Good for now. No, you don't get to leave yet. So there are some of you who don't know what we're talking about, but our sister here has struggled with her kidneys or the failure of her kidneys for 15 years and was told by the doctors that there's probably no chance that you're ever going to get a kidney transplant for a variety of reasons. One of them is just because of all the antibodies and for all the different times that she had to go in 3 times a week, 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours every time to do the dialysis. It affected her blood. And then one day they called her up and said, listen, we think we might have a match. And this was about 5, 6 weeks ago now? January 8th. Anyways, make a long story short, God has healed Anita. He has. Thank you, Jesus. And we give him all the glory, right? Shout to the Lord. Say hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And what man said was not possible, God said, you know what, that's not hard at all. I can do this. I can do this. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you, but I want to call you out because we need to testify about these things. There are other people here today, you need to know that God is this powerful, that God can do this. And when man says, no way, God says, yes way, I can do this, right? Let's give him praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your name. Thank you, God, that you are hearing our prayers, the prayers of your people. Thank you that in your favor and in your goodness, you've looked down on Anita and you've provided her with this kidney. Thank you, Lord, that she's doing well. Thank you that this kidney has not been rejected, And we ask, God, that you will complete the good work that you've begun in her. Thank you, Jesus. We know that this is prolonging her life, and we expect, God, many years of ministry and of service to you. You are a good God, and in the name of Jesus, we just declare today that she is well. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
That's good, right? Amen. We just got to celebrate that. Ted, I was just thinking about you. You okay? I know you were getting some stuff checked out. I know I'm putting people on the spot, but don't come to this church if you don't want that. So.
Well, the Lord told me that you might be really asking me. So, some of you might know or not know, but in 2011, I got diagnosed with prostate cancer. And they caught it in time, removed it. I didn't need chemo or radiation. Then in 2015, I had a cancerous polyp. They caught that in time. They removed 6 inches of my bowel, and I didn't need chemo or radiation. And then the last week of November, I was up in the hotel in Grand Prairie. I work in the oil patch. And I started having an uncomfortable feeling in my throat when I was swallowing. So right away I thought, well, the devil's attacking me again with this. So a month later, I went to the doctor, and he recommended I have an ultrasound, and nothing showed up. And I thought, well, it's just too early, but give it time and it'll show up. So then a month later, I kept having that swallowing thing, and I had another ultrasound. And I said to the doctor, I should have one because it's been a while since I had that last one, and maybe it's had a chance to develop. So I had another ultrasound, and nothing showed up. So then I still had it, so I'm still worried about it. So then I've been on thyroid medication for about 8 years now, and it hasn't changed for the last 4 or 5. So I said to him, maybe I should have my thyroid checked again if it's changed. And he said, at the same time, that's a good idea. We'll do a blood test in case your white blood cells are increasing because you're fighting a bacteria or cancer or whatever. So I had that done, and he said, no, your thyroid's still the same. There's no increase in your blood white cells and all that. So then I said, well, maybe we should have a throat scope done. So I went to the ear, throat, nose specialist, and they put a camera through your nose, and they check it out and all that stuff. It didn't hurt at all. I was expecting it to. And so he checked it, and he says, there's nothing there, buddy. So ever since, and I've been, every day I pray and lay hands on my throat and ask the Lord to heal me and continue to heal me, and it's been gradually going away, and I don't really feel it anymore. So.
You guys just stand up and let's pray for Ted. Just three of you join me, okay? This is important. This is good. Some of you just raise your hands, and we just accept this, God. We believe that you're a God who heals. You've done this in Ted's life 2, 3, 4 times already. We, in the name of Jesus, just ask you, God, to do what you're doing. Just continue to heal him. There is nothing there because there is nothing there. Thank you, Jesus. And just pray, God, that whatever this is in his throat, whatever hindrance, whatever irritation this is, that you will remove it right now in Jesus' name, because you are the great physician. And thank you, God, that you provide us with the faith that we need too. So give Ted the faith. Give all of us faith as we pray for him. And Lord, we just pray for great health. I pray, God, that you will extend his life for many, many years. I thank you for this man and for his family, God. Thank you for the power of God, and we just believe in the power of your name today, God. The enemy has no place in hindering this man or giving him cancer or any of those things. We speak against that. We speak health and well-being and peace and shalom. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's awesome.
Amen. Wasn't that exciting? I didn't know that. You're right. You know, God just laid you on my heart when I saw you this morning, and I think we needed to hear that. Pauline, you want to come on up here? Just while you're coming up, there's a couple other little things I wanted to mention. First, I want to disinvite about half of you. I need to disinvite you to the women's conference, because Crystal earlier said that you're all invited. You are not. I know this is disappointing, but only the women are invited. Okay? So just so you know. And the second thing is just a quick little story about the Dream Center. You know, that we're just dreaming right now, and we're praying about the possibility of starting a Dream Center, and we really believe there's a need for that. There's so many people dying on the streets because of the addictions and the grip, the chains that Satan really has in their lives. We're praying that that might be God's plan for this building that we call Lotus, which is this big old bar. You know about some of it. We don't even know where this is going. But just a quick little thing, that we got a letter. Actually, our realtor got a letter from Deer Park Alliance Church this week. It was actually a little over a week ago. And they wrote us a letter saying, listen, we don't know what's going on, but we hear good things about downtown. We hear there might be something going on in terms of some kind of a Christ-based treatment center, something like a Dream Center, and we want to be in, whatever that means. So not good. Hallelujah. So, and then they say, we don't know what that looks like, we don't know what that means, but we'd like to be a partner in this if this is what happens. So, and that's without asking. That's just coming out of the blue. And I just say, thank you, God. God's moving. I hope you recognize that. God's doing some really cool things in this group here. He's also doing really cool things in the Church of Jesus Christ. And we know that for any of this to happen, for any of this to have any effect, it needs to be not about our kingdom. It's not about Potter's kingdom. It's got to be about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. And that the church, maybe for the first time in a long time, that the church is one. That together, we work together. Amen? Let me pray for you. So God, right now we are excited to hear your word. We love your word. We believe your word. And I pray for Pastor Paul N. that as he speaks, the word of God will flow. We want to worship you today in spirit and in truth, according to the word of God, the truth of your word, and the movement of your Holy Spirit. So be with our brother, and we open our ears right now. We want to listen in Jesus' name.
Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible, we'd like to read a passage from the book of Mark, chapter 9. There's a story there about a boy with the evil spirit or unclean spirit. So turn with me to Mark, chapter 9. I'll start reading from verse 14. Until verse 27. Healing of a boy with an evil spirit. By the way, I don't know why Pastor Stan said all the things that I'm going to say. The Spirit is only one. The owner of this word is one, our Father in heaven. And He knows everything. And I'll be speaking very much along the words that Pastor Stan has just said to us. So let's read. I'm going to read this. You simply listen. When they came to other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed. By a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. This is a story also written in chapter 5 about the Gerasian or Gadarene man possessed by the evil spirit or unclean spirit. We live in a fallen world where sickness, diseases try to come into our life. Even though we are Christians, the unsaved and Christians are the target of this sickness, or I should say, the target of unclean spirits. Sickness can either be from evil spirit or unclean spirit, or not from unclean spirit. You remember the story about a boy blind from birth when the disciples asked Jesus, whose sin is that this boy suffer? Jesus said, neither the sin of the parents nor his sin. You remember the story about Lazarus? Lazarus was sick, and that sickness even led unto his death. Not because of his sin. But the Bible says, Jesus says, that the glory of God might be shown. But of course, there is the factor of sin so much in this fallen world now that causes us to get sick. You remember the story about Naaman, General Naaman, I should say, from Syria. And then Gehazi did sin. He tried to receive a bribe or something which should not he has received from him. And then Elisha said, now the curse or the leprosy of Naaman will fall on you and on all your household. So that means it is because of sin that leads to curse. That Gehazi is the servant of Elisha, that he was leprous in all of his body, and not only him, all of his descendants, all the people of his household that come after him. This is a hard thing for me to understand. It's not only Gehazi, but also his descendants. There is a difference between sin and curse. Curse is not a sin, but curse is the result of sin. That's the distinction. That's the difference. We read in this passage today that unclean spirit caused this boy to be sick. If you ask me, how does the unclean spirit enter someone? How does the unclean spirit enter a man or a woman? You read the book of Revelation, chapter 8, 18. Mainly it says in that passage that unclean spirit gains an entry into a person's life, because of sins and iniquities. But that's why the Bible says, speaking to God's people, come out of that, because that passage talks about Babylon. Babylon is described as this fallen world, this system in this world, which is all polluted by untruth and by sin. We know the difference also between sins and iniquities. Sins is if you miss the mark, you miss the target as intended by God, you miss that. That means you sin. But iniquities is something that you willfully or intentionally do against the will of God. You know the truth, but you do wrong anyway. So what's the best way so that this demon or evil spirit or unclean spirit does not enter our life? The answer is, do not sin. And secondly, if someone has been the target of this unclean spirit, and the evil spirit, like this passage that we have read, is already working in him, well, he needs or she needs a deliverance. That should be another message, because deliverance is quite a subject to talk about. If someone sins, even though he is a believer, I said earlier that we give an entry point to the enemy, to the evil, unclean spirit, to enter our system, our body. We are the tri-one being, meaning we have our body, we have our soul, and we have our spirit, but they are all one. Now, this unclean spirit can depress you up to the level of your soul. But since your spirit is the habitation of the Spirit of God, there is the Holy of Holies in your life. If you are a believer, unclean spirit cannot get an entry to that place. So as a church of Jesus Christ, because tomorrow, next week, just like Pastor Sun has just announced about this dream center, that God may use that to deliver the lives of many people who have been agonized or attacked or harassed by also this kind of problem. Some evil spirits attack the lives of many people, I believe, in this city. And even in this province. And not only in this province. So let's pray that we as a church of Jesus Christ might be equipped with faith, a mountain-moving faith, so that we can do an effective ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about faith, it is not just like the faith as understood by the people out there, by the world. There are keys to effective faith. Well, first, you should understand and know the truth from the Bible. Because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes through the knowledge of the truth. Faith comes by hearing. If you don't have faith, if you don't have the knowledge about what the will of God as expressed in the Bible, you cannot rise above what you know. Your faith cannot rise above what you know about the Word of God. So you need the knowledge that brings faith, and that knowledge comes from hearing the Word of God. And number two, talking about effective faith, faith should operate with pure conscience. If I try to do something that requires the exercise of my faith, but my conscience speaks inside of me, saying, you are wrong, you are wrong, something is wrong, something needs to be confessed, something needs to be made right first with God. If it keeps speaking in me like that, even though I pray, my faith will just be pulled down. Doesn't work. That's why the Bible says, I think it is in the book of Hebrews, that our faith should operate with pure conscience. And I thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ can make our conscience clean again. Amen. And number three, talking about effective faith. Faith should work together as a breastplate with love. So if this is the breastplate, love, faith, faith, love, love, faith, they should work in tandem. They work together. Jesus has given power and authority to his 12 disciples. And we as a church, after Jesus has ascended up to heaven, also have been given the same thing. Luke chapter 9 says about Jesus giving this power to his disciples, he called his 12 disciples, the Bible says, and gave them power and authority over all demons. And to cure sickness. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Many times I say to God in my prayer, Lord, you ask me to preach your gospel, but I think it is not complete if I also do not heal the sick. So the church should do this task, preaching the gospel and healing the sick. And by the authority and the power given to us by Jesus, we should free also people from the bondage of evil spirit. When I was in Indonesia, I got quite a number of people through the power of God, not because I per se I have power, but that power and authority given to me by Jesus, I've got a number of people freed from the oppression, from the possession of evil spirit. I don't know if I have any anointing, but I don't think I have any anointing. But all I'm saying to you, church, is this. Just the power of the Word of God, if you preach that, it has power. It has power. And what is the Word of God? The Bible says, if you read the book of Revelation, what is the name of Jesus? The book of Revelation says, Jesus is the Word of God. So preach out Jesus. Use the authority that has been given to you as a church. The book of Matthew, talking about the kingdom of God. Many people are asking, where is the kingdom of God? Has it come? Or is it going to come? Or has it not yet come? They thought that in the millennial age, the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth, that will be the time when God's kingdom comes. But I don't think so. Jesus said, quoting Matthew chapter 12, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's what Jesus says. So let's realize that the kingdom of God has come because that kingdom is already in us. Many times I ask a question also. Lord, you have given power to your church, to believers. You have given authority, just like these disciples of Jesus. Power and authority have been given to them, but why did they fail? They couldn't cast out the evil spirit from that boy. What is the answer? I think the answer is in verse 19 by Jesus speaking. He says here, oh, unbelieving generation. So even though power is already given to me or to you, authority to act on behalf of Jesus has been given also to us. But if you do not exercise your faith to use the power and authority, guess what will happen? Amen. So, dear church, dearly beloved, let's use the faith that has been given to us. You might say, I don't have the gift of faith to expel demon or evil spirit or to heal the sick. Oh, it is wonderful if you have the gift of faith. But all I'm saying is, if you really read the essence of Mark chapter 16, towards the end of it, towards the end of that chapter, you realize that in the name of Jesus, there is power, the authority and the power that has been given to the church. Amen. We need to do these days so that people can be made free from their problem, including like the boy here who has been tormented by the evil spirit. I praise God for the faith that has been given to our brother Ted. It has been prayed over by the church and through Pastor Stan. Remember, the number one weapon used by the enemy is fear. That's number one. The number one weapon of the enemy. But the Bible says Jesus, our Father, doesn't give us the spirit of fear. Amen. It is the spirit of love. It is the spirit of sound mind. So whenever that fear is trying to come into our soul, that is the time we say bluntly, fear or spirit of fear, you do not have any place in my life. Get out of my heart. Get out of my mind. So let me try to make again like a flow chart of cause and effect as it pertains to this sickness caused by the evil spirit. First, if someone sins, that will cause sickness. Remember again, not all sickness caused by evil spirit or demon in a fallen world. Sin will cause sickness. And if sin is inside of someone or a believer, it makes the Holy Spirit depart. Because Holy Spirit, He is holy. He cannot coexist. He cannot dwell together with sin. And life without the Holy Spirit will attract demons to come in. And it causes sicknesses. Or it brings more wicked spirits and more suffering. So the only way to stop the unclean spirit is invite again the Holy Spirit to come into your life, confess your iniquities, your sin to God, and do not sin anymore. That's a formula. Demons cannot enter us if we have Christ's spirit in us. But if we succumb, if we let him in, they are more than willing to come into somebody's heart. That's why the Bible teaches, do not follow the doctrine of Balaam. What does it mean? Balaam teaches about befriending untruth or the world. We are still in this world. We have to get in contact with those people who are not yet saved. But we should not have the same paradigm, the same spirit, the same lifestyle as those who are not yet coming into the kingdom. That is the teaching of Balaam. Balaam says, we can befriend the world. Let's make the world to be our friend. Bible says, whoever is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Are you like the parent in this story? Maybe he has been disappointed many times. He has come to the point that his son should be delivered. And then the disciples fail to deliver the boy. Talking about this father again with the boy with the evil spirit, are you like him? You look like a skeptic, but still have a little bit of faith in you. I believe many people who are skeptics today, as the Spirit of God continues to work, they will be the people who will see the glory of God. Just like the Gadaran, the man who was possessed by so many evil spirits. He's out of his mind, not wearing any clothes. He was violent. He has extra power from the enemy. But remember, God, after touching him and delivering him, Jesus can make him to be the best preacher in his area in Decapolis. That's what the Bible says. So this is the vision for all this project that has been given by God to this church. I believe someday, more people that we see today as being possessed by these unclean spirits, they are roaming in the streets of Red Deer or even in these propins. Someday, by the power of God, they will preach the gospel of deliverance. I give a credit also to this father, because he's a man who has faith, but he is honest enough to admit that in the midst of his small faith, he has doubts. Are you like him? Or maybe I'm like him. Are you like the disciples here? You never seem to give people the answer for their cry for help that they need. Or are you like the boy that is spoken of in this passage? Because you feel these days that you are being harassed, you are being vexed, or even you are being controlled by this unclean or evil spirit. You try to do good. You try to stop the addiction. You try not to fall into the same sin over and over and over again, but you feel that something seems to control you. Are you like that boy? Or are you like Jesus, our teacher, our Lord? We are his body. He's the head of the church. That Jesus got called in to fix things when others is messing up. This is our mission as a church. This is the mission of Put Our Hands in this city, that we might get called in to fix the mess in the lives of many people. Let's talk a little bit about the evil spirit from this story. There must be some other explanation to this evil spirit. I think I mentioned before, briefly here, the unclean spirit or evil spirit is the spirit of a person who died without Christ, without his soul being cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and then he died, and then he was given a time. Remember in Genesis chapter 6, God says, my spirit will only stay with man for 120 years. I'm not talking about believer here. The moment you die, a believer die, that moment, it goes up to heaven. I'm talking about unbeliever who is not willing during his lifetime to take the grace of God into his life. So when he or she dies, say for example, he dies or she dies at the age of 70. So according to that rule in Genesis chapter 6, the 120-year rule, he or she has a time for 50 years to roam around. He's not judged yet. The judgment has not come to him yet. So he is roaming around, inflicting sickness into the life of many people. This is the reason I believe we as believers need to speak the power in the name of Jesus every day, maybe once a day. You need to pray, maybe before you go to bed, using the power of Jesus' name to cleanse again and to expel the influence of this unclean spirit from our life. So I've given you the explanation about the evil spirit or unclean spirit. But as for a believer, the moment he dies or she dies, that moment he goes up to heaven, escorted by the angel of God. I believe there are many unclean spirits in operations nowadays. They are very real. It's not just the story. It's not the film like from Hollywood. No. They are powerful. But remember, in the midst of all this, Jesus has authority over all the power of these demons. And that same authority has been given to his church. Let me bring this to an end. What I'm saying to you today is, let's try to exercise our faith. The Bible says, the last chapter of Mark, about expelling or about casting out demons, it does not say that I cast out demon from somebody's life, or somebody's life casting out demon from me, or casting out evil spirit from me. It points out to the fact that we individually, as believers, need to exercise the faith in God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we can say every influence, every harassment of this evil spirit that tries to attack my life, my thinking, my emotion, my feeling, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. I do that every night. Because even, this is my personal belief, you don't find that verse in the Bible, even without you doing the sin or making an entry for the evil spirit to come into you, to vex you, or to harass you, or to oppress you, our mind alone has been in such a state for the enemy to attack. Again, I'm not saying that the demon is in your spirit, but demon can influence, can harass, can oppress your body and your soul. So let's use the power in Jesus' name and the blood of Jesus Christ. If you remember to do this, try to do this repetitively, just like Pastor said earlier. Maybe you have done it, but do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, and then you will see a difference within 2 months. God bless you all.
But I do believe that we're going to end today by doing some of the things that we're talking about, binding the enemy and releasing the Holy Spirit, releasing the power of the name of Jesus. Appreciate the word. This is always a hard subject, and, you know, it's not like this is all laid out for us. Sometimes there's still some parts of this that we don't totally understand, but we just ask God for clarity, and he shows us and he teaches us. One of the things that struck me in this passage is just that it was when the demon in this little boy When the demon saw Jesus, immediately, it says, they brought him to Jesus, and immediately when the boy saw Jesus, or when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately reacted. It immediately threw the boy to the ground. And that should be true. You know, it's really about Jesus in me and Jesus in you. And that when Jesus is evident, and Pastor Pauline talked about the love, when the love of Jesus is evident, that whatever that demonic power is, whatever that spirit is, it ought to recognize Jesus in me, Jesus in you, Jesus in the church, right? And when that happens, there's shrieking and there's convulsing and there's throwing it on the ground because the enemy is going to want to get out of that place, does not want to be there. When Jesus is recognized, are you following me? When Jesus is recognized, the enemy won't want to be there. So today, just as we end today, there's one thing that the Bible makes very clear. There's some things we don't understand completely, but one thing I know for sure about this is that we have the authority to bind the enemy. We have the authority in Jesus' name to say, enemy, you no longer get to have control in this part of my life. Here's a sin that I'm confessing or I'm binding this. I bind the control that you have in my life in this area. Maybe it's a relationship or an addiction or whatever it is. So let's stand up. Everyone stand up. And I just want you to think about how we ought to bind the enemy. What needs to be bound? Maybe in your life, or maybe there's someone that you're standing in the gap for today. You're thinking about someone who is wandering away from God or they're struggling. We're going to bind that today. We're going to all speak this out loud. I know that seems weird. It's not. So we're going to just play that We Exalt You song, okay? Whatever you want. But I want you to think about this, and then we're going to just bind the enemy. We're going to do this for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to release the power of the name of Jesus, okay? Now, for me, I'm going to give you a few examples. So maybe that'll help. I'm thinking about, you know, someone who has just been free, someone who gave her life to Jesus, but she's kind of wandering back into that old life again. So I'm going to be praying that in the name of Jesus, we bind whatever the authority, whatever the old patterns, whatever the leverage is that Satan has had in that young girl's life. I'm going to bind that. I'm going to speak to the enemy. Because that's what Jesus said to do. We're not just going to pray to God to do this. We have the authority, right? Or I can think of a family member that I know. You know, I know that he's not really following the Lord. He's got other ambitions. He's got other demons, other things he's worshiping. I'm going to speak that there'll be a death in that. That idol will be dead in his life. That he'll no longer bow down to that idol. And we bind the enemy. I bind that enemy in Jesus' name. So I just invite you to speak as I'm speaking. You can hear me speak, but you do your own. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we stand on the word of God. Your word says that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And so on earth right now, we bind the power of the enemy over these people in our lives. These people who need to be released. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we speak to the enemy. Enemy, you must flee. You must go. You have no power. You have no authority. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the power to be able to speak to the powers of darkness, to evil spirits. And in Jesus' name, we command you to leave. We command you to leave any person who's in this place today who is struggling with this oppression or maybe even possession because they don't know you, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we bind the enemy. In Jesus' name, we speak in love. And he can't handle that. We know you can't handle that enemy. Thank you, God. We bind you. And now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we release the power of God. You said that whatever we loose on earth, you will release it. You will loose it. You'll set it free in heaven. Thank you, God. So we set free. We agree together today. We join our faith together. We set free people who are bound in addictions right now. We release them. We release the power of God because you have given us, you said all authority and all power on earth has been given to your church. Thank you, God. We release peace. We release shalom. We release the healing power, just as we've seen this morning, that people get healed because you are still the God who heals. And we proclaim that today in the name of Jesus. For people who are stuck in a relationship that's dry and dead, we pray, God, for a newness, for a flow of your spirit, for new life, for a green bud right now, just a green bud, something that's alive and fresh in Jesus' name. We speak and we release the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We release life. We release life right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We release life where there's only been death, where there's been dying, where there's been a desert, where everything has been parched. We speak life in Jesus' name. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we release life. We think of some people that we know who are struggling and they are busy dying. We release the life of Jesus, the breath of God. We release the breath of the Holy Spirit into these lives. These are people that are dear to us. These are people we love, God. We stand in a gap for them today. And finally, even in our own lives right now, and in my life, in every one of our lives, we hear your word today, and we want to act on it. Lord, I pray that you will you'll just move in the power of your Spirit. And that we take authority in our own lives. I take authority in my life, and everyone can just pray that personally. I pray, Lord, that you will bind up any way that the enemy continues to attack me. You say that to yourself. Say that out loud. I bind temptation in Jesus' name. I bind lust and pride in Jesus' name. I bind depression and darkness and self-pity in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And release the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in all your goodness, all your kindness, self-control, joy, and love and peace. Let that flow in my life. Binding the enemy, releasing the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can be Jesus. Now, when the enemy sees me, he will convulse and he will shriek and he'll hit the ground because of Jesus who's in me. Thank you, God. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, before you go, if you need prayer, sometimes I've heard people say, you know, I feel like I got a demon in me. If you're feeling that today, you came to the right place. And Pastor Paul and maybe a few others, we can pray. Like, if that's how you feel, that there's something controlling you, then don't leave today. Because we've heard it today. We have power over this. But go now in the power of the Lord. Come for prayer, but you are free to leave. God bless you.